and the fifth day, accumulated fifth day, we have Tigane, who is was celebrating his birthday yesterday. Welcome everybody. Honorable members, can we get an indication? I know for a fact that there is an apology, secretary, from the minister, but the deputy minister, as the always is present. Can I get other apologies from your side?
Yes, Chair. I've just got one further apology from Honorable Malinga, who said that she would be joining the meeting later.
Okay, thank you so much. I think I will ask the Deputy Minister to just make his opening remarks so that we can get all other people coming. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. And greetings to the Honourable Committee members. Good morning. I am just at a loss in that I'm hoping that the board chair and the members of the board are present. I can only see either the registration here through the form of gadgets and not carrying the names. Chair, with your permission, can I just help, can I establish with the secretariat if the board members have indeed logged in, and if the chair is present, she could indicate that the occasion initially is provided for the board to come, of Danel to come and brief the portfolio committee. We are here to provide support where it is necessary. But initially, it is for the board to present itself and the subject at hand to the portfolio committee. We will come in whenever called upon to support the board. So, Chair, with your permission, if it can be established, and that the chair can then take the podium and introduce those board members and the delegation, and then proceed with the task at hand. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Board Chair?
Chair, it's Talib Sadiq, the interim group CEO, and I've just spoken to her, and she was in the process of dialing in.
He has not yet logged in.
No, Chair, and the Chair is also not in the waiting room. I've been waiting to connect the chairperson of the board. And so far from, there's only one other person that I've noted from Danel, aside from Mr. Sadiq, it's Mr. Forby from Danel Aeronautics. I haven't really seen other members connecting.
Okay, in the light of that, is the interim CEO can help us? What do we do? Or can
Chair,
you perhaps?
Sorry to interrupt you, Chair. In fact, if we could give her about a minute, our Chair, and then we also have the Executive Committee of Danel joining the session as well.
Okay. Honorable members, I think let's do that. Let's wait for that 2 minutes. At 5:05, we are continuing. Thank you.
Chair, I've just spoken to our chair, and she said she's trying to log in, and she suggests we comment, and she will join in.
Okay, if that is, if your car, you guys are prepared to provide us with all the necessary information, the person in charge, the host, must try to help her. If you can give the number to the, or her details to the person who is the host, to assist her to log in while we are continuing.
Chair?
Honorable members, then, let's go ahead.
Chair, may I?
Give us through then.
Chair?
Yes? Honorable Kachalia?
Thank you, Chair. This is the presentation on governance, which falls under the direct aegis and responsibility of the board. If there is no member of the board here currently to present this, then that's a problem, because we need a responsible person from the board, the chairman or anybody else whom she decides to give a proxy to present and be present. I don't know if we proceed with governance issues because without the presence of a responsible person, I'd like to be interested to.
Honorable Kashali, I think if I heard properly, the interim CEO, he did mention that there are members of the board that are already locked in. It's only the chair who is still struggling.
Are they present? Can names be presented, please? The board members.
Okay. I thought he's gonna be also introducing, because part of the task that was given by the deputy minister was that they have to introduce themselves first and foremost.
Thank you.
Thank you. Can we get the members of the board that are present to introduce themselves? I know they're supposed to have a protocol. There must be a deputy or something of that nature who might be in charge when the chairperson is not present.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Talib Sadiq. I'm the interim group CEO at the NEL, and I'm also a member of the board. And with me, I have the executive committee members of the NEL, and they are as follows: the group CFO, who's also a member of the board, her name is Carmen LaGrange. She will be joining me in the presentation. I have Ms. Bridget Salo, who is our CEO of one of our test range division in the Western Cape. I have Ms. Mersha Ngeme, who is our HR executive. I then have Mr. Mike Colby, who is the CEO of the NEL Aeronautics. I have Mr. Cello Inchleshley, who is the CEO of the NEL Dynamics. I'm just looking through the list. I have Mr. Paladi Peche, who is the CEO of the NEL PMP. I think that's the team I have, Chair, from the Executive Committee of the NEL. There may be others that will join us as well.
Okay. Yeah, I think that allows you to continue with the presentation then.
Chair?
Yes.
Yeah, before maybe the presenter comes,
Can I check if the members of the board, all of them were invited? And then if so, did they send an apology to Mr. Talib? Or maybe to the committee secretary?
Chair, they've sent apologies to myself, which we will communicate to the portfolio committee secretary.
Yeah. Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. So we did submit a presentation that I will be taking you through, and if the secretary could maybe share that on the screen.
Can you be able to do that?
I received an indication that Mr. Sadiq would be doing so, which is why I made him a co-host, Chief.
Could I just check with my colleague, Carmen? Do you have... sorry, Chair.
Okay.
One moment, Chair. I'm just going to get it.
Okay, Madam Chair, I will be able to proceed if there's a struggle. You just proceed.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Chair, then if it's fine, can I proceed, Chair?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Good morning to you, Chair, and to the committee members, and to the Deputy Minister and the Director General and colleagues from the Department of Public Enterprises. We'd like to thank you for giving us the opportunity to make a presentation to the committee on the funding and governance challenges of the NEL. So I will process, if I could go on to the next slide, please. In the presentation this morning, I would like to cover the strategic relevance of the NEL, provide you with an overview of our capabilities and critical governance, then to provide you with the state of business and our journey towards a renewed DNL. We will provide you with an update on the DNL future state and then the risk to the future sustainability of DNL, Chair. Proceed to the next. Chair, in terms of the defense review that took place in 2015, this is the blueprint for the government's defense policy. And this document was tabled and approved both at cabinet and at parliament. And the in the defense review, it identified the NEL as a national strategic security asset, and that we will be the custodian of sovereign defense capabilities geared towards meeting the needs of the SANDF. And our triple mandate that we've mentioned previously is to not only be the custodian of sovereign defense capabilities, is also to strive towards being commercially sustainable as a state-owned company, and to add to the socio-economic objectives of the South African economy. So we do play a key role to our defense industry, and the National Defense Industry Council, they did identify that the liquidity challenges facing the NEL compromise our national security of our country, and it also had the impact of causing damage to the defense industry. In 2017, our defense industry employed about 20,000 people, and that has since come down to about 8,500. And with the challenges that the NEL is facing, it does expose South Africa to a mass exodus of skilled personnel in the defense domain, and also a loss of critical defense capabilities, both sovereign and strategic capabilities. And the reason why Danel exists, Chair, it is quite critical because it helps the SANDF to keep South Africa safe. In our recent discussions with the Department of Defense, there was a recognition made that the strategic and sovereign capabilities, Danel is not able to fund it off its own balance sheet as we have been doing so in the past. And hence, these capabilities are at risk should we not be able to bring Danel back to a stable footing, which is what we, together with the support of our shareholder, are trying to do. Thank you, Chair. The next slide. So in terms of the Danel's businesses, we've got five operating divisions. We have shared this slide with yourselves in the past. The five operating divisions is Danel Dynamics, which contains our missiles and UAV business, together with SpaceTech and our system integration. Danel Landward Systems, which includes Danel's land systems and Danel vehicle systems. LNT, I will provide you with an update in the presentation, which is in business rescue, and we are busy finalizing the sale to a third party. Then there's Danel Aeronautics. We are mainly servicing the South African Air Force. Danel PMP, which is in a small and medium caliber ammunition, and the Danel Overberg Test Range. We also have associate companies in Hensoldt, where we own a 30% stake. Pioneer Land Systems Company, where we own 49%. Rheinmetall Danel Munitions, we own 49%, and Barish Dynamics at 49%. Next slide, please. Our capabilities are categorized in six different areas: artillery, security, border control, naval, aerospace, infantry, and training and other. And all of these capabilities are geared towards serving the SANDF. And in some areas, we are a single source provider to the SANDF, and that's because we are the OEM. Some of our capabilities, mainly that's classified under aerospace and infantry, there's a number of sovereign and capabilities that exist in these capabilities. And also across this portfolio capabilities, we have a system integration expertise that ensures that all of these different capabilities are able to speak to each other when we provide solutions to the SANDF. The next slide, please. Next slide. Going forward, next slide. And these are the critical governance and regulatory processes that we have in place. We have the Danel board, we have our shareholder, we have the NCACC, the Department of Defense, Arms Corps, and also because we deal with foreign exchange transactions, we deal with the Reserve Bank as well. Next slide, please. What we've done in terms of the state of the business, we've tried to map the state of our business according to the balanced scorecard, which refers to people, organization, stake, and strategic issues. So in the environment that Danel finds itself right now, and in our effort to stabilize the company, we have launched a transitionary set of values, which includes integrity, performance, courage, and accountability. We do have a committed workforce, although we do have a low morale, and our staff turnover right now is at about 9.3%. Although this is within the norm is around 10%, we are quite concerned because there's critical skills that we've lost in our missile division. the salary dispute, we have 5 recognized unions within the Denel group, but of the 5, 2 of our unions, Solidarity and UASA, they represent about 25% of our workforce. They've taken us to court for our inability to honor the full salary commitments for the months of May until July. So Denel, during that time, May to July, we've paid 25% of our employees, we've paid them the full salaries, and these were our priority was the lowest paid employees. We paid their full salaries, which represented about 25% of our employee base. And then our highest paid employees for the months of June and July, we paid them between 60 and 80% of their salaries. So, and then with the challenges we're currently having, we are having a short-term inability to attract STEM and commercial skills. But once we stabilize Denel and reposition the company, we are confident that these skills we will be able to attract these skills. And also, with the loss of the staff that we've experienced in our missile division, they've also indicated to us that once we stabilize Denel, they'll be very keen to look at coming back and rejoin Denel. From an organization point of view, with the support of the Department of Defense, we are a world-class design and development house. But our challenge is around industrialization. And with you being involved in design and development, it does bring about program execution risks, which we have experienced that has affected performance. With the majority of our divisions being loss-making, In an effort to turn around the performance of Denel, we felt we should also follow a bottom-up approach. So we've devolved authority to our divisions, and the key reason for us is to be client-centric, because our clients have been asking for greater authority to devolve to the divisions, and to also encourage an entrepreneurial mindset with our divisional and to empower them. We are making a lot of effort to improve governance and risk management and also fix the balance sheet of the company and reputation management as well. From a stakeholder point of view, our defense colleagues, we are engaging with them to fund the sovereign and strategic capabilities. The point I made on where Denel is not able to fund that off its own balance sheet, as we've been doing in the past. Our order pipeline and backlog is at the moment about 25 billion rand. Our pipeline itself is at a lower level than what we've had in the past. So we believe with the changes we are taking place, we should be able to pick up that pipeline. There's also been, with our lenders, a change in the bankers' policy that they're moving away from military solutions. We are engaging with the state agencies such as the SIU and such as Chief Justice Zonder Commission on state capture, and I will talk about that briefly later on. And at the strategic side, the alignment with Denel's future state, we're working very closely with the security cluster under the leadership of the Department of Public Enterprises. We are continuing our journey to divest non-core capabilities. And sustainable industrialization, at the moment, we are largely a development and design house where 60% of our revenue comes out from design and development. And we would like to change that, where we would like to drive mass production in the company. For us to drive mass production, we need to drive export revenue. In order to try and fix things within our control, we have launched 7 projects. And we are also looking at right-sizing the organization to match our revenue. So Fitch has graded us in the short term, and that's because they've risk of timely sovereign support to Denel. Once we are able to sort that out, we will then review. Fitch will then review the rating, and they are expecting to review our rating in the next month. Next slide. So in terms of the state of the business, LMT Products has been under business rescue. That business has now been sold to a local defense player, and we've managed to save about 60 jobs as a result of the sale. With the LNT process, we expect to save an annualized cost saving of about 48 million rand. We've also reduced open creditors. It was around 1.1 billion rand in 2018, and that has now come down to about 700 million rand. We've also reduced our cost base in the company. Overall, since 2018, we've reduced our cost by 1 billion rand, and in over time, we've had a 27% reduction in our staff numbers. The state capture commitment is ongoing. They are year-end date scheduled from the 26th to the 30th, to the end of October, and also from the 9th to the 13th of November. From a Hensel point of view, we haven't been able to meet all of the conditions by the end of September. So those discussions are now ongoing with Hensel, and we will see how those discussions progress. The business has been affected by COVID-19, which has had an impact on their cash flows. From a COVID-19 impact, we've had revenue delays due to delays with the Arms Control Authority issuing permits on time. Our suppliers were also affected due to their business interruptions, both locally and internationally. From an employee perspective, we've had 60 of our employees tested positive, 55 have recovered. We've had two active cases, and sadly, we've had three employees that have passed away relating to the virus. And then we do have across the organization the ongoing awareness campaigns and all of the protective measures that should be in place. We have them in place. Thank you. Next slide. From our headcount perspective, our headcount is about 3,000 people. Around two-thirds of them are in technical. As I stated, since April 2018, we've had a reduction in our headcount by about 34%. I've mentioned the staff have left the company. That's the staff turnover that I mentioned earlier on. We haven't been able to pay full salaries. This is the 391 million rand from about May to the end of September. And that's the discussion, where the organized labor representing 25% of the workforce took us to court for salaries that we haven't paid from May until July. And our relationships with the organized labor has been strained. We are engaging with our organized labor on an ongoing basis. The recruitment for a group CEO is underway, and that process is continuing. Thank you. Next slide. Under Who Faced the Program, there is a task team that's been led by the Deputy Minister of Defense. We are working in that task team together with the DOD and Arms Corps. We are making good progress to try and resolve the technical issues on the program. We've had a good support, good feedback received from the SANDF as the end user, and there will be follow-up engagements. We've had the Deputy Defense Minister visit the Nell Land Systems, which is involved in the achievement of the development of the Who Faced the Program, for him to get knowledge of where we are with the program, and also to visit some of the key operational personnel that's involved in the development of the program. So on the way forward, we will be engaging with Arms Corps and the DOD around support, accepting the production baseline, and then we will be starting the discussions around the contract amendment. Obviously, we are cognizant of the current realities within the DOD in terms of budget and their schedule and the implications to both the local and the foreign supplier base with the Who Faced the Program. But those discussions are ongoing with the Department of Defense and Arms Corps. Next slide, please. So, Chair, what we have been doing is that we have been engaging with the Department of Defense, and also they've been making presentations to the security cluster together with the public, with our shareholder, Public Enterprises. And we've been looking for a sustainable funding model for the sovereign and strategic capabilities that we have been funding in the past. And the big the big reason for this funding is that it has weakened our balance sheet. And for this financial year, we've made a request to the Department of Defense to fund, to provide about 683 million rand of funding. And what this funding is about is for research and development and obsolescence management. And it's to keep the capabilities going within Denel. And you will see that over the years, the funding decreases, and that's because we are assuming based on our site of the order pipeline, as we get orders coming in, we will then reduce the funding requirement from the Department of Defense on the sovereign and strategic capabilities. Next slide, please. Carmen, can I hand over to you?
So, Khalid, thank you, Chair, and thank you, members of the portfolio committee. I mean, good morning, everybody. So my part of this presentation is really to focus on some of the financial state of the business in terms of that balanced scorecard. Since our last discussions at Parliament, we've had some positive news in terms of our debt program, called our domestic medium-term note program, which, as most of the members know, is listed on the JSE. On the 9th of September, we had the PIC roll the bonds with a value of about 2.448 billion rand, which the underlying investor was the UIF. And they've rolled that for a further 12 months, as well as a private fund manager, Signia, was rolled via bonds for 15 million rand. National Treasury and DPE have supported Denel to pay its quarterly interest to all the investors. That totals 51 million. And in addition, ENP and the shareholder also supported payment of the redemption amount for two out of our five investors. Bonani, which was one of the investors, for an amount of 132 million, and Aluwani for 50 million. So in terms of the 576 million that was allocated to Denel for 2021 in the MTEF, we've now utilized 305 million, and so 271 million remains in that fund. And I guess the good news is that Denel has allocated it for the purpose for which National Treasury intended, and that was for the reduction of debt. So our debt of 3.415 billion has been somewhat reduced. However, Denel did put in an application that the conditions be waived on the balance of that fund so that we could use that amount for working capital. And so we remain hopeful that the balance of 271 million will be released by the shareholder for Denel to use in working capital. Then the second lot is the stakeholder engagement. These interactions have increased, considerable interaction with SECDEV, the DOD, and Arms Corps and SANDF. We also continue with our DPE and National Treasury weekly and monthly monitoring meetings, where we discuss progress on our plans and also on our current liquidity crisis. And then, as Philippe mentioned, there is the interministerial task team under the leadership of the Deputy Minister of Defence that is set up to resolve the Wolf Aster issue. Under Denel Future State, Denel did submit to our shareholder the Denel Future State, and we are awaiting our response. And then on a supply chain, we had a number of supply chain issues that were reported in the last two financial years. And early in February this year, beginning of this year, we appointed a new group supply chain manager. Part of our corporate plan is ensuring that we address better inventory management and optimal cost recovery, and also to address supply chain vulnerabilities. With respect to COVID-19 related spend on PPE, Denel spent about 3 million rand
And with respect to that, the auditors have found one or two instances where amounts were slightly higher than that which was in the regulations, and now has made sure that we're able to identify where that happened and how we are going to be dealing with that. And then finally, in terms of other stakeholders, we have, as you know, three associate companies, Varish Dynamics, which is previously covered Zone Dynamics. We've got RDM, where we hold a 49% stake, and also Hensolf, where there's a 30% stake. One of the actions we have in terms of financial sustainability on those associate companies is to assess the NAL's return on those investments by reviewing the KPIs and seeing the value of business that we get through those entities. There are some shareholder agreements that we believe need to be reviewed in terms of when they were entered into around about 2008. And so Danielle is looking at that to see how do we ensure we get good value from our investee companies. Next slide, please. Many of you have seen this slide before, but in the 2020 year, we're currently sitting with an unaudited loss of about 1.8 billion rand, and this has been largely due to the significant decline in revenue, poor program management, which we've already mentioned, as well as COVID-19 impacts in terms of being able to realize our sales faster. As far as our financial position is concerned, if you look at the bottom graph, our equity is below sustainable levels, so below the 4 billion required by investors. And as I mentioned on the previous slide, you'll notice that we've been predominantly funded by debt. So equity levels and debt equity ratios are, completely negative, so it means we borrow more than we can afford to pay. And so we really need to look at how do we reposition this balance sheet and get rid of the huge debt burden, which Danielle has reported that we have. Our equity levels decreased substantially despite the injection we received on the 31st of August of 1.8 billion rand recapitalization. And as I mentioned previously, we have received 305 million of our allocated funds, and there's an amount of 271 million that remains. Then on to the next slide, we did an analysis in terms of our audited financial statements over the period from 2013-14 to 2018-19, and you'll see that in the first, in the years beginning 13-14 to 16-17, we had unqualified opinions from CSWIS, Saluba, Gobodo, who were previous auditors. They were replaced by Nkonki for a brief stint in 2017-18, and then by the Auditor General for the past 3 years. Our financial statements are currently being audited, like I mentioned, for the 19-20 year, and the auditors are busy getting ready to make an opinion on the financial statements. Of course, deliberating around going concern matters due to our severe liquidity crisis. And by the end of October, our audit committee will be on the 27th of October, followed by our board meeting on the 29th, where those financial statements will be approved. And then we will issue those audited financial statements to National Treasury on the 31st of October. So I'll pause there and hand back over to my colleague, Talib, to talk about the rest of the slides. Thank you, colleague.
Thank you, members of the committee. Carmen LaGrange is our group CFO. So in terms of our efforts towards a renewed NAL, we felt as a board to reflect backwards. And what we have seen is that the company was on a growth trajectory up to 2016-2017. The revenue in 2016 did increase quite substantially, and that was due to the acquisition of Land Systems South Africa. So that's what drove the sort of a hockey stick in the growth in revenue. But what we do see is that post 2017 onwards, revenue at Danel has dropped, and that's for the efforts around getting better integrity in the numbers. At this time, the numbers have performed poorly. If one had to correlate it at the bottom table, which shows you the decline in the local defense spend. And not only the decline in the local defense spend, but what's been shown in Mustard is the share of that revenue, which has also come down. We've also had a misalignment with the with our key stakeholders. And here in particular, it talks to during the time, the state capture period, where we've had poor governance, poor financial control in the company. We've had poor leadership and management in the company. And as a result of that, Danel's revenue dropped significantly, and that then caused our cost base to be sustainable, and also our level of debt then became unsustainable. During that time, we also lost people, which then resulted in us slipping on our program management as well. So the important message here on this slide, Chair, is that one sees the growth trajectory of the company up to 2016 and then after a downward spiral. And the table on the right is what's in our corporate plan. And our ambition is to grow that revenue to at least 5 billion rand in the next 5 years. But based on the pipeline and the orders we've secured, that's what we are seeing. And hence, we are looking at shaping the business, our cost base, to match the secured revenue that's been projected in our corporate plan. Next slide, please. So what we've done as Chair is that we've looked at, as the executive team of Danel, we looked at matters that's within our control and to see what can we do to stabilize the company. As a result of that, we've launched 7 projects in the group. And each of these projects are headed up by an executive member, together supported by another executive member in the company. And this cuts across the entire Danel group. And the 7 areas we are looking at is alignment with our key stakeholders, business development in alignment, internal and external stakeholders, business development to look at how can we grow our pipeline, communication to our stakeholders, both internally and externally, the financial sustainability, our people, program execution, and strategy. So we are on an ongoing basis, we are monitoring the progress we are making with these work streams, which were launched during the third week of August. Next slide, please. So in terms of Danel future state, what we've done, Chair, is we've looked at the portfolio of our activities, and on the right, on the top right-hand column, where we've got the non-core core business criteria, the number one thing that we looked at was the need for sovereign and strategic capability to ensure that that is maintained and strengthened. We then looked at market access. We looked at our competitive positioning, and we looked at financial sustainability. So we've considered these criteria, and as a result of that, we then grouped businesses where we should look at retaining, fixing, and growing them and consider partnerships. We've also looked at the upgrading of our Oldberg test range, and then we've looked at businesses that we should consider exiting and divesting. The ones that's shown in green is the ones where we've made good progress with Aerostructures and LMT. We've managed to exit those businesses, but those Aerostructures, for instance, hasn't come without a cost, which we had to incur to close and to fund penalties as a result of us exiting that business, and the cost of closure, retrenchment of employees, etc. LMT Holdings, SpaceTech, and Hensel, those are ongoing at the moment. And then Gear Ratio, Mechem, and a properties portfolio, we are looking at exiting or divesting from our property portfolio, Mechem, and Gear Ratio, in order to bring in cash into the business. And then on the blue on the left, our land systems, vehicle systems, aeronautics, dynamics, PMP, these are sovereign and strategic capabilities, and our focus is to stabilize and grow these businesses. And then on the bottom right hand, the partnership criteria, our strong focus is to ensure market access, profitable market access, in order to drive mass production within Denel, technology development, and to raise capital. Important security of supply, where we believe that with this approach, we would be able to meet and also further strengthen our relationship and to ensure that the SANDF is able to receive world-class products within a declining defense budget. Next slide, please. So the risks we have to the future state, the advance payments we've received on the Who Faced the Program, we've received about 2 billion rand and we've invested a fair amount of that advance payment into stock and work in progress. The loss of critical staff, we've spoken about that, and then the liquidity constraints in the company. We have made an application for emergency funding to sort out our short-term liquidity, and that we are looking at engaging with Treasury where we seek a loan and to secure that against proceeds from the strategic equity partnerships and the non-core disposals. Our creditors, the amount has reduced to about 700 million rand, but in that approximate 715 million, we have about 500 million rand, that's over 120 days. Okay, and we are having discussions with our key stakeholders. Sorry, next slide, please. So on the strategic side, our efforts to rebuild Denel, the equity partnerships, we do operate in a multi-stakeholder environment, and the security of the state, seeing the important role that Denel plays around sovereign and strategic capabilities, we need to ensure that there's strong alignment and also that we are able to achieve socio-economic development for our country. The pleasing thing is that the interest has been really great. We did report some time ago that we had about 40 interests from interested parties, and that has grown quite significantly. Both local and international interest has been good, and that speaks about the quality of the design and development expertise that lies in Denel. On the reputation side, we believe we have very strong support from our shareholder and from our Department of Defense, and this should enable us to reposition Denel as to get back to our world-class reputation. The alignment issues, our key customers, I've spoken about that, and then the important alignment issue is for the NPACC, where we did experience delays in the permitting due to the lockdown and also the geopolitical issues, but we believe that that has been addressed. I think, Chair, that more or less concludes my presentation. Before I hand over to our Chair, I would just want to give these final points to say, in our efforts towards a sustainable Denel, we are looking at talent management being very important, especially our engineering capability, and we believe we are moving in the right direction. We want to restore our reputation as a reliable partner to both our customers and suppliers. We want to be efficient, we want to be competitive, and we want to build those relationships. We need to restore our capital structure. We are looking at unlocking cash from our property portfolio and non-core disposals, and we also want to bring down our level of debt. The role of the DoD is very important for us to resolve the funding gap on our sovereign capabilities, and also production to secure production orders and R&D programs. And then lastly, to fast-track our strategic equity partnerships. Chair, we believe that with these initiatives and having the right support across all our stakeholders, we should be able to reposition Denel and restore its reputation that it held. Thank you. Chair, can I hand over to our Chair, Ms. Schlachtschler?
Yes. Come in, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chair, and to the committee for the opportunity today. And let me also thank the acting group CEO for stepping in so quickly and for being able to wrap around the business of Genel so eloquently. Just a few comments from me. The challenges facing Genel financially still remain, and hence the good efforts by the executive committee to try and chip at it, including the efforts we made to ensure that PIC can look at extending the debt program that we have with them. However, I would like parliamentarians to note that for a business of the nature that Genel is, to have your debt program renewed annually, it basically means that you've got very, very short-term debt for a business whose nature is very multi-year. That is unsustainable. That remains a huge challenge, that we are a company highly dependent on debt, but also debt that is very short-term. Every year, you've got to face the fact that you've inherited close to $3 billion in debt, and every year, you must find a way for them to extend it. Otherwise, you've got to find enough internal resource to service that debt, because otherwise, you've got quarterly interest payments that also eat up in terms of any monies that you make. You cannot allocate it to working capital, so you can't reinvest in the business, because every quarter you are facing a very big interest payment bill. And that remains a big challenge to Genel. And I do not want us, as we see the great efforts, to forget that we've inherited debt associated with specific programs that were not necessarily implemented properly, and that debt is sitting today with the Genel of today, and therefore inhibiting today's team to reinvest and rebuild the Genel that we want. Secondly, it's pleasing to see efforts coming to bear between DOD, Department of Defense, our shareholder in BPE, AMSCO, and Genel around Hoefijzer. By far, Hoefijzer remains the biggest threat to Genel. If the parties do not find a way to resolve the technical issues around the program, Hoefijzer remains the single biggest program on Genel's balance sheet or income statement. As everybody knows, when you depend on one client, in our case, it's the Department of Defense and AMSCO and its associates, our dependence on a single client is a threat. And as you all know, when we say diversify, go overseas, expand the market, it means that you're able to reinvest and partner with people in order to counteract the balance of dependency on one client. What that also means is that as the national fiscus continues to suffer and the Department of Defense does not receive the kind of budget they used to have in the past, you are gradually reducing the capacity of both AMSCO and Genel then, for Genel to then have bigger programs. And I think you've seen a chart where consistently, regardless of how much AMSCO has received from the state, the allocation to Genel has been massively undercut. And that is an issue that, as I say, Hoefijzer being the single most important program for the business for many, many years, if we do not solve the technical issues, Genel of today may face other related penalties. Because in the past, yes, the acting CEO is correct that we've been chipping at some of our challenges, but we must all remember that one of the approaches that this board and management has tried to curtail and remove is the notion of taking money, advance payments for project X, and to utilize it for working capital. What that means is that when the project is due on its due date, DINEL has not actually provided for that project, has not implemented because you use the money somewhere else. So all we do today is face penalties from such programs from the past. And I must say that the discussion on AMSCO is critical because a larger portion of the advance payment used for working capital was with regard to Roof Acer. So that threat remains for today's DINEL, the workers of DINEL. We still have to find a way to start paying back what previously was used for working capital instead of utilization on the exec program. The issue of the SEPs, by any standards, I believe that DINEL can be saved if we just moved fast. And just moved fast, not only as DINEL, but DINEL, the shareholder, DPE, DOD, where you do not agree, we come together, because speed is of the essence when you are dealing with a very vulnerable and weak entity, which DINEL has been beaten up to. And I'm saying this with the greatest appeal as chair, to say may we all put egos aside and support DINEL with guidance and with everything possible to make sure that in implementing SEPs, they do it the right way to save jobs for the economy and retain them in South Africa. Lastly, Chair, can a chair ignore the fact that your people, your staff, remain highly strained? In any situation where you can never pay, where you are unable to pay 100% of what is due to a person, it causes a lot of stress. My biggest worry as I watch DINEL's people, not sure, and that is management and staff, not sure whether we will be able to pay their salaries in full month on month, is that it creates an environment where you worry about how focused they are going to be. You worry about whether when they get back home, what happens when they can't pay debts, what happens when their children start to worry that maybe mom or dad doesn't have a full salary, maybe we owe somebody else. All it does is create layers and layers of stress among your people that eventually will start to stress the environment itself because they don't pay attention. I worry that if this continues too long without us, DPE, DOD, and Treasury having a view of what the future would look like, we may even reverse the good efforts that we have made in DINEL, simply because our people are human, stressed. But I'm comforted, though, that management is continuing to develop programs to create hope, to create focus, so that this potential risk doesn't become real in the institution. But I think to not mention it is to pretend that one doesn't care or feel it for the staff. I do, on behalf of the board, want to say to all of our staff and employees, while we say hang in there, we are doing everything possible to try and arrive at a point where we can at least have a future outcome that can say in so many years or in so many months, we think we'll arrive at this point where you will be okay. And that is my hope, Chair. And I just want to thank our management and board again for hanging in. It is worth hanging in for a potential sustainable business. And it is not easy for now, but I'm hoping that there will still be light at the end of the tunnel as we continue engaging our critical stakeholders. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair of the Board. Welcome also, because when we open and welcome the members of the board and everybody, we're still struggling to log in. Honorable members, that is the presentation from the Board of Dinel on financial and governance challenges facing the company. And I think they have provided us with a very comprehensive report, and you will have to engage the report now. I will start with the Honorable Kumede, followed by Honorable Kachalia. Can I get the first two?
Can you hear me?
Yes, Honorable Gumede, you are audible.
Thank you, Chair, and let me take this opportunity and greet all members, the department, members of the board, as well as other members that we have shared the presentation with. Chair, looking at this presentation, it's a very good story to tell. Then let's underline the however, because it's so critical that, you know, in many instances, having been afforded a chance to participate and engage with Dinel, different stories have been told, but the main thing has been the liquidity on the side of Dinel. And that's the story that in fact is bringing all these factors that again find us wanting. Chair, let's all agree as well that the survival of Dinel, it's very critical. We can't live or survive without Dinel. By all means, we'll have to find the mechanism as to how we resuscitate and we get Dinel perhaps running as well. Chair, I want to say the presentation, I'll focus on the presentation rather than perhaps go outside the presentation. If we were to say this is, firstly, Chair, let me say the Group CEO, I appreciated his foresight at the end. His part that he presented at the end, which is not part of the presentation, sounded very much positive. I would request that at least that part form part of the presentation, that it will formulate for us the basis of oversight. It's not included in the presentation, but he said a mouthful at the end of the things that he added. Chair, I wanted to say, if this was the recovery plan for Dinel, perhaps in this plan, I wanted to find out from Dinel, CEO rather, how much of time they will need advising, I would request that we be a little bit enlightened on how do we cut. I'm not sure whether that present, that slide, there is a slide, I think it's the last but one, whether is that the slide that renewed denial future state, whether is that the slide that in fact is downsizing the situation. And again, I'm hoping that the interaction between the defense and denial does yield fruits. The 683 million that's being negotiated, I hope it comes through. The 271, which yes, of course, it will come through as a working capital, but let's hope that it gives Denel a kind of a starter pack that it will never lose the track again. There is a mention again, Chair, as presented, that we started declining in 2016 backward. We have been performing very well. That's supported by the Auditor General, the financial statements and all that. But thereafter, we started in terms of revenue declining. Then I'm asking, Chair, that has the CEO studied the factors that brought Denel down? And what is the approach to those factors? It could be a factor that there is a corruption, a factor that people are leaving. All those things, in fact, when you synthesize and analyze the factors that has brought the revenue down as from 2017, have we looked at them? How do we want to approach them? Perhaps, Chair, let me wait there for the time being. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Honorable Kumede. Honorable Kajalia?
Thank you, Chair. And thank you for the presentation. It was well received. It's common cause that Denel was a world leader and is now in a parlous place. In fact, if we look at the revenue growth of Denel, the hockey stick from 2013 to 2016, and then we look at the reverse hockey stick, if you like, the decline from 2016 to now, we see that in 2019, revenue is in a worse place than when it started off in 2013. So this decline is more than serious. Now, there are a number of areas that this has been attributed to in terms of local international contracts, poor leadership, management, skills loss, debt. Those are all reasons for where we are and tells us why we are where we shouldn't be. The presentation is somewhat useful to gain some understanding, but frankly, if I must be honest, doesn't give me the confidence that I needed. Earlier on, I asked in terms of oversight that we are responsible for to meet with Denel to gain an in-depth understanding of this. The Department of Public Enterprises and the Minister blocked that, which I believe is unconstitutional because we are empowered to do oversight in a parliamentary committee on an individual and a collective basis. But be that as it may, we have a presentation now. And as I said, it doesn't fill me with considerable hope because it hinges on a number of things. what I would like to see, and these are my questions in many ways, and I need them clearly stated. What are the states of the current contract? Our ability to deliver on it, what impedes us from doing so, what will ensure that we possibly could. So that needs to be unpacked in clear operational terms. What are the future contracts? And what is our ability to fund these in financial terms? And what is our ability to deliver on these with people? Now, in terms of funding, it's common cause, in the words of the CFO, that we borrow more than we can afford to pay. So we are all we are doing is servicing debt, and not very efficiently. We're not even paying our people properly. In some instances, not at all. Now, how can we deliver financially and with people under these circumstances? This needs to be candidly put on the line so that we can understand this. And then there needs to, take for example people. We say it's shrunk by 9.3%. But in terms of key personnel, which the CEO pointed out, the figure is much higher. I'd like to understand in terms of that if we are paying 25% full salary, and Exco and the board are being and other senior people are being paid 60-80% of salary. Where's the missing middle? The key missing middle. What are they being paid or not being paid? Those key technical skills, which account for 2/3 of the headcount. If they are not being paid, if they are not being looked after, it's no surprise that they are leaving in droves to our competitors. So that needs to be addressed. So I go back to current contracts, future contracts, ability to fund in terms of money, ability to fund, ability to deliver in terms of people. And then some sanity must prevail, because you must have a plan B, which says that if we are unable to do what's above the line, as it were, then what are we going to do to meet the situation, the parlous situation we find ourselves in, if we cannot meet it in terms of funding and people and contracts, all of which we failed on in the decline of the hockey stick? What are we going to do? Are we going to be selling off units? Are we going to be consolidating with Arms Corps? Those are the key questions for which I would like to see answers to. Otherwise, this, like almost every other state-owned entity under our aegis, is in a mess and will continue a death spiral. Please, let's address this. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Kashalia. Honorable Maodo. Honorable Maodo, followed by Honorable Mkwanazi.
Thank you very much. Chair, can you hear me?
Yes, you are honorable member.
Okay, thanks. And good morning to the colleagues. I'm going to go straight to, maybe let me start with the chairperson of the board. When she was closing, she spoke about her FESTA project, and it was one on the list of my issues that I wanted to raise. And she mentioned that there's technical issues that seemingly are hampering progress on the execution of this project. Now my question is, those technical issues, what is the plan? Because we can't just note that there are technical issues, and what are we saying about those technical issues? Are we saying that they can be resolved, and if they're not resolved, then what is the way forward on the project? At the end of the day, we need to have the way forward on this project. And also what I like is that she mentions that the debt associated with programs that were not implemented properly are actually posing a big problem for Jeunesse. And she acknowledges that you can only overcome high or huge debt by getting more revenue. Now, my question is, what is the plan of Jeunesse to then get more revenue with what they have? Or is it a hopeless situation that they can never, ever get more revenue with what they have currently to at least service their debt and not being dependent, like she was saying? The dependency on a single threat. I mean, it's a threat. The dependency on a single entity is a threat. For example, DOD and AMSCO and all that. So it then prompts one to say, look beyond the Department of Defense. Look beyond AMSCO. Look beyond your local market. Go outside the local market and go and market your product. But when we come to almost the last slide of alignment issues, there's issues of export permit approval. And then there's issues of key customers that needs to be aligned. So the situation of Jeunesse is with this presentation, it's basically saying they're hopeless because there's issues that should be advanced to improve the operations of Jeunesse. For example, the permit approval. They are seeing them as risks for the success of Jeunesse. Now, that was in regards to what the chairperson of the board was saying. Going to the hand salt, I think it was presented by Mr. Talib, the inability to meet conditions which resulted in the lapse of sales of shares. Why is that? And what are we then doing to make sure that we meet the conditions of anything, any agreement that you enter into, so you don't end up having a lapse in the sale of shares? And my colleague will speak about the salaries. I'm going to leave it to her. The issue of future demands. In your presentation, you are saying you submitted a document to DPE in relation to the future of demands. We don't have sight of that. And all that we can say is the deputy minister is here. Can the deputy minister give us feedback on how far is this future Jeunesse document or strategy, whatever you call it, and how is that going to turn around the situation at Jeunesse? What is it that we're going to see happening in Jeunesse as soon as this document is approved by DPE? The issue of declining local budget, I touched on it to say it goes without saying that you ought to look beyond your current customers if you are unable to get more revenue. In any situation, in any organization, in any company, there will be time where you need equipment and machinery and all that. But there will be a time where you stabilize and you can't afford to pump in more capital to buy any capital equipment because you would have reached your operations. Therefore, you cannot then continue to fund those equipment. And it goes without saying that Jeunesse should have seen that there'll be a point where DOD and AMSCO will come to a point where they are not ordering as much as they were. And then what is the plan around making sure that they still service their debts, they still are able to pay their salaries and all that. On the transitional period, how does it help you to turn around the situation, your transitional period, your work streams? How are they assisting you to turn around the situation? What has been achieved so far, and what do you hope to achieve, and by when? And then, CEO, back in the days in 2014, there was talk of launching the South African regional aircraft, or rather airline. That was back in 2014, and I do know that there was a lot of money that was pumped into that project. There was a lot of resources being pumped in. There were models that were presented and all that. How far is that project? Or is it not something that you would want to continue with? And if so, why? Why have you abandoned it? And with all the resources that were pumped in, what has happened to those resources? Now, lastly, Chair, on the issue of loss of critical staff,
yes, it can be an issue for now, but it can continue to be an issue, especially if you've got your future DNA. When you do a model, a new model of where you want to take DNA, you should take into account that you've lost critical stuff or critical skills. Now, therefore, what does it mean now for the company to say, if you were able to produce 9mm guns, 1,000 of them in a month, and you've lost skills that produce that kind of equipment, you can't then say you're still going to continue producing that or even more when you do know for a fact that you've lost those skills. So the issue of critical skills must be an issue of now, but it can't be an issue of the future, to the point that you even hope that those people will come back. So you can't base your model on hopes and hoping that the people that have left because of bad management and everything else will come back when now things are starting to pile up. So your model should factor in the fact that you have lost critical skills and what does that then mean to the company. I thank you, Chair. I'll pause it for now.
Thank you, Honorable Mahotua. Honorable Mkwanazi.
Thank you, Chair. I hope I'm audible.
You are audible, Honorable Member.
Thank you, Chair. My apologies. I won't be able to switch on my video because of the terrible network here. Secondly, thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. Greetings to you, Chair, the honourable members, the DM, the officials, and the board members from Denham. Partly, I am covered by my colleagues. Two things, Chair, I want to check. The last presentation by the board chairperson, she spoke on the speedily intervention and cooperation of the department and the NEL and the board themselves. She talked more or if the department can also clarify the issue of the time and the issue of the time frames, because Chair, what I picked up in that a presentation is that there must be a cooperation between the stakeholders and the department. Can the department, public enterprise, talk to that program going forward? Secondly, Chair, I want to check from, especially from the board chairperson, I want to repeat my question I made when we were on the oversight chair, that when she looked at Denham, does she see the future going forward for Denham to deliver on the SOE's mandates? Because for me, Chair, I don't want to lose sight and focus on that, on saying the SOEs must create more employment, skills development, and of course, talk to the issue of inclusive economic growth. But Chair, I want maybe the board chairperson to clarify on that, to say, leave the current situation and them. The renewed Denham a program that is in place, but when she looked at the future, does she see Denham delivering on those principles and on those policy matters, and if she can talk to time frames also around it. Lastly, Chair, I want to check, are there any impacts on Denham on the state capture issues, the summary of recoveries as they presented? Does they make any impact on the current situation? For now, Chair, I will pause there. I will come back. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mkwanazi. Can we have Honorable Buthelezi? Honorable Buthelezi is not there. Honorable Kwangwa. Honorable Kwankwa seemingly also is not there. Then we go to Honorable Komani.
Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Komani? Thank you.
Am I audible, Chair?
Yes, honorable member, you are, but there is a noise nyana there, but you are.
Oh, thank you very much, Chair. I would also apologize for not switching on my video due to the network challenge. However, Chair, I would want to check with the chairperson as to they would then take us through the state capture issue on the presentation, but they didn't. Maybe they would as well take us through that confidence. And equally, Chair, one is worried about the presentation that was presented by the chairperson of the board when she alluded to the fact that one would suggest that no, the department. The other factor, Chairperson, is that this presentation.
Sorry, Honorable Komani. Honorable Komani?
Yes.
Yeah, Chair? You have to repeat the sentence you raised when you ask that question. Can you really ask that question again? Because you cut when you were trying to articulate your question.
Okay. I'm saying, Chairperson, the board chair insinuates that there's like no cooperation between the department and their board, and it is very critical, Chair. And she should substantiate on that so that it is taken into consideration, and the committee can as well know how to assist there. At equally, Chairperson, I'm saying the presentation lacks the time frames in terms of they doesn't specify as to how when will they execute, and there's a support that they would anticipate from the department and from the committee itself, because it is very vague. And on slide 12, Chair, in terms of the audit findings, they can we be maybe taken into confidence as to where the overspending was and how will they be addressed? Because it cannot be correct that they only tell us that there were audit findings that they would then address. We need to be taken into confidence as to how they are going to address it and what they are going to address as to what specifically was the findings. And Chair, I think it is very critical on slide 9, the board has indicated that the status of unemployment to employees, one would as well want to ask as to which levels of employees are affected by this non-payment. Is also the senior management affected by this non-payment? And how long will this last? Because people have been not being paid for some time now. And given the factors of the lockdown and everything, it cannot be correct that people are not being paid to date. And then what in fact prompted Dinel not to honor the payment agreement in terms of them, because this agreement was between them and the labor force. What is it then that made them to renege from the agreement? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Komani. Honorable Piri.
Thanks, Chair, and I'd like to forward my greetings to everybody who's in the platform, but also to apologize in advance of not putting on my camera also, as well as I'm on the road to Parliament, Chair. My network won't be stable, but I have only one question, Chair, if you allow me. Really, is it for the sake of compliance for any entity to come and present, just to present and receive questions from us, or does it have any impact and assist them to plan better going forward? Why am I saying that, Chair, is that we raised a number of things, we gave some possible situation where they will have to redirect their plans. Even if the Honorable Panas raised an issue that we raised number of questions and that will make them to restructure or replan better for the entity to be stable. But then I have a problem while we always ask them questions, we even advise, but they are not taking any action from our advices. Then that's why I'm saying I have only one question to them. We went for an oversight there. One of the advices is that why can't the SOEs trade among themselves in terms of marketing? For example, in a report, we were told that the aerospace possibility of it is no longer there or it's been liquidated. While we are facing the issue of SAA, they've got skills, they've got capacity to assist and also to even give us pilots and engineers as PNL, but they're not doing that. So I would like to pose my questions only to be answered the fact that are we just raising questions for the sake of compliance? Are we just giving recommendations for the sake of compliance? Or we need to give them advices so that they can rework on them? Thanks, Chair. Let me pause there.
Thank you, Honorable Thierry. Honorable Malinga, have you logged in yet? Oh, there is also Honorable Mare.
Chairperson, thank you so much. I just want to pop the question to the CEO. He referred to application for funding for emergency in the case of liquidity problems. Can I just be advised, what are we talking about? What amount are we talking about? And is that would be seen as a second form of bailout? Can you just elaborate for me on that, please? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Mara. I think Honorable Shabalala.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Firstly, I want to know what is the balance sheet currently of the NEM, and what is the situation with the employees, as much as you are unable to pay them full salaries, but what is the discussion and what is the agreement with them, or they just wait for you to give them what you can and that's it, and we move on to the next day or the next month. Is there any form of a discussion with them on any agreement? Comrade Gumede has covered me most of the points that I wanted to make at the beginning. But safe to say, as things stand here, we need the nail. The country needs the nail. How do you have a country that you have a SOE that produces ammunitions and all sorts of things that can really get the country into trouble in so far issues of sovereignty of this country, protection of this country? But the point on moving the SOE's money around, revolving the same institution of where government is a shareholder, is very critical, where police and the defense is able to procure all the services from DNEL, where DNEL can produce them, and clearly they do have the capacity. So the question would be, Kanti, what is happening? That I gave it over to the Deputy Minister. Perhaps he can assist us around that. Is there, because there's mention of interministerial committee, perhaps he can give us a report as we move along on this issue. The last point, you know, Honorable Kachala says the Deputy Minister blocked the portfolio of doing oversight. I don't know what he's talking about. All members, we've been referring to the oversight that we did, unless he's got his own oversight that he wanted to make. He needs to clarify that. But we can't leave him and on hindsight and put a thing there to say he blocked it, it's unconstitutional. That thing has got a bearing. If it's unconstitutional, then it's something that needs to be taken on. But you cannot say that on behalf of the name of the PC. Maybe you're speaking about the DA. Thanks. I'm done, Chairperson. Thank you.
Yes. Oh, sorry. Thank you so much. We have to go back then to the to the NEL board to respond to the inputs that have been presented by members. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think I should start, and then I can hand over then to the acting group CEO to take the detailed questions further. And thanks again, parliamentarians, for the input that you give us. And if it's anything to go by, I'm hoping that my management is listening. Because of the great input that we received on partnering with other SOEs and looking within the state's own institutions to see how DINEL can sell services to, I think maybe we should make a separate report on that, because you've done a lot of work on it. So I just thought I should say that before you even respond, because indeed they gave us a lot of great ideas, and I know that you have made advances in some of them, and I think we should just make a separate report so that the members of this committee know that we take them seriously, and then we appreciate them, and we don't take any input that they give for granted. There was a big question asked by more than one person about the issue around the need for a concerted effort to the DPE, ourselves as DINEL, DOD. It is really just an issue of recognizing the amount of effort being made by the DPE, the DOD, AMSCO, DINEL, various committees, that one wishes that it could crystallize sooner than later into speedy execution, simply because of a fragile DINEL. It was to highlight that part, to say, as we continue engaging on very, very important issues, and on that, I want to even highlight further parliamentarians and say, when you are dealing with an institution that indeed still has enormous IP that is still lying with us, that has got dedicated and focused people, even if we have lost some of them, that has got a little bit of a know-how that keeps us, for example, as a board, focused on working with them, that you want at every point where all the stakeholders are coming together, it's as if you could just run us on a timeline, because DINEL's position financially gets so fragile at times that all it needs is speed. It's my way of trying to even get Parliament to keep at us, and I've had some of the members also saying to us, I want to see timeframes. I think that's where the board is, where we are saying we just need to now run ourselves on some timeframes, because so much good work is being done at different points. All it needs to come to bear is in DINEL and to start making a difference in DINEL. It really is what I need support from for you to keep pushing us on it, because that's where I feel the rubber hits the runway there. The sooner these great ideas that we all have crystallize in the action plans that we have together, but time them, I think we might win. And we might win better than where we feel today. And there was another general question about, do you see a future? Are the future contracts from your position as chair. One of the bizarre issues about Edina for me, coming out of non-defense, it's now 2.5 in Edina, is the amount of people that will keep phoning to want to do business with Edina, and that would ask, do you think you will soon stabilize? I still want to speak to your teams about this, and then you just refer them to the teams. It would seem to me that we are dealing here with an entity that still has demands, and the courage is about bringing all these ideas about resolving our immediate issues to bear, just like so that we can crack the challenge earlier so that we can enable a denial, no matter how small, no matter whether it's partnering differently with an AMSCO, which are some of your questions. There is an immediate task that I know DOD, DPE has grappled with, that for me, and I want to say this without any contradiction, Denial used to be the hope for many Afrikaner families in the past. They would be able to give opportunities to engineer after engineer. If there is a small possibility that the effort that we are all putting together can regenerate that Denial, that would make that dream possible for all the other South African families who have got kids who are technical, to start producing things within Denial, I think it is worth it. And for me and my board, we keep at it because we still see hope. Some people would say hope is not enough, but we do see in some of the divisions green shoots, that they can be able to turn themselves around faster than other divisions. Chair, on behalf of remain focused, remain dedicated, remain adding value. And without doubt, all of us still believe that there is still something we can salvage within Denial that could possibly continue to add value in this new world that even our president sees of manufacturing. Can we, with our management, find a way to doctor those places where we've got weaknesses and turn it around for the better? And I want to say, in discussions with DPE or DOD, they also remain very positive. We must just align with energy, figure out, no matter how difficult it is, to deal with the financial challenges and liquidity challenges that come through many years, and then carve a different future for Denial. I remain hopeful. Parliamentarians, and thank you very much for challenging questions. And I will just add to the management as they grapple with their various questions that they raised. And I hope that I've answered all of the bigger questions that I think Mayor Piri, Reb Mede, and I like the fact that it was for Mayor. Mema Utwe, Mempanazi, you were really challenging to get to hear where I still stand. And I believe that it's good to remain hopeful and to put the best effort forward to salvage some of the SOEs that can one day stand alone. I still believe Denial is potentially one of them. Talib?
Thank you, Chair. So from to the extent we I'd recall, and we definitely could follow up with a more comprehensive response for the unanswered questions. From the presentation we made, we did talk to an earlier version of the presentation. We did update it. So thank you, Honorable Gumede. We will send the latest presentation that contains some of the points that I'd made towards the end. In terms of how do we intend attracting the skills back, the point we made in our presentation is to engage with the DoD and the DPE around funding for the strategic and sovereign capabilities. What we have found is the employees that left us, they did not just leave us for our inability to meet their full salaries at the end of the month. It's really about their career growth within Denel. And for the engineering experts in Denel, they would want to be involved in research and development programs. And hence, our request to the DoD around sovereign and strategic funding, and the point we made earlier on around funding for R&D projects and for obsolescence management. This is what will help keep the people, give them the confidence that there is a career other than just meeting the salaries, because these engineering experts, they want to use their skills, they want to use their IP. And therefore, we believe that they'd want to come back, because where they've left to, they are not able to use the IP and skills that they've gained at Denel whilst they were here. In terms of have we studied the reasons, not a complete list, but some of the big headlines was obviously corruption and state capture, where we've confused our customer markets, and also internally with our people, we've lost people. Poor program management, we've been operating at a gross loss, so program management very important. And we really need to move from not only being a design and development house to a mass producer of products, because that's what will reduce our lower risk, will reduce our risk and able to generate tendered margins on the contracts. Performance management, we have seen that we haven't been as strong as we should be around performance management, around consequence management. The reputation of Denel locally, obviously having our organized labor taking us to court hasn't helped. The publicity that we've been getting hasn't been great, and that has had an impact on our reputation, both locally and internationally. Liquidity, we've spoken about the alignment with our key state agencies, important for our success. The alignment of the DoD is growing, and the need for their support to help us drive export business, because when you go into the export markets, you need to demonstrate that your local customer is buying your products. And unfortunately, with the declining DoD budget, that has had an impact. In terms of revenue, Kristen made earlier on around our revenue going down in 2019. What we have seen is that we, as the board, we've established committees on the board. There is a focused audit committee, focused risk committee, and focused finance and investment committee. So the integrity of the numbers are very key. You know, in the past, revenue was being booked, which was not invoiced to clients, but it was the revenue recognition principle applied. And hence you find that the Auditor General has issued a disclaimer audit opinion, because they needed to be satisfied on the correctness of us applying the correct standards. I think we need to ensure we've got motivated people. Our technical alignment with the contracts that we sign, most of the material contracts are now overseen by the Finance and Investment Committee before we submit bids. And the Risk Committee of the board is there to ensure that, to oversee how we are managing the risk around these contracts. We're also looking at back-to-back arrangements with our suppliers so that some of the penalties that we carry, they will carry as well. And I did make the point around the risk management around programs. In terms of the missing middle, in fact, when I made the point that the lower levels of staff, this was at a certain remuneration level, they were receiving full salaries. And then the balance of the staff from that lower level right up to the top, they were getting between 60 and 80% of their salaries during this time. One of the reasons that affected us not to be able to pay our staff salaries is with the lockdown. We've had an issue with the permitting. Our productivity levels over the past period has been around 30% what it should have been, and that had an impact on our cash flows. As we are ramping up, we would expect us to now get back into a position, one of the position to be able to pay full salaries. The other thing is that one of the key structural changes we've implemented is to devolve authority to the divisions, to make them client-centric so that they have a motivated workforce. But it's not only about the salaries, but more importantly, about managing the supply chain and delivering to our key customers, like, for instance, the South African Air Force, where they've been quite dependent on us delivering on the aircraft so that they can have the aircraft more in the air and less time in our hangar. In terms of the technical baseline around roof facer, we are making steady progress. We believe we've got good support with our end user, the SANDF. We now need to have discussions at a contractual level, and those discussions are taking place with both the DOD and Arms Corps. And it's under the leadership of the Deputy Minister of Defense. We are hoping it is quite a big program for us, as pointed out by our chair, that we are able to sign off on the production baseline of the contract and then move into the production phase of the contract. So the development phase, we've identified what needs to be fixed. We now need to go through a formal process with Arms Corps to put in those change requests formally and to get approval up to the board where required at the Arms Corps level, and then we will then implement. The loss of staff in our company has had an impact, and we are looking at mitigating that. In terms of new revenue opportunities, the defense review focused a lot on Danel's defense capabilities. But what we are also looking at doing is to move from conventional warfare to asymmetric warfare. And here we are having discussions through JCPS, you know, around border management to look at whether we can provide an integrated management system to the to our border management authority. Also, an integrated national disaster management system. We've put this on the table with the South African police. It's an integrated IT system.
Honourable members, unmute yourselves.
And then we are looking at, through the JCPS, you know, how can we coordinate bigger spend from the South African police? Because one of the other questions was around working with the other state-owned companies or other state agencies. We are currently working, some of our businesses are working with Transnet in the engineering side. So those discussions are ongoing, and they are going quite well, those discussions. In terms of time frames, our chair did point out, I suppose that's the pressure clearly that the board is putting on management as well to ensure that we do deliver. At this stage, we've just launched these projects. It is headed up by all of the different executives, and the group executive committee is looking at it. And it's also a commitment we made to the organization that we'd want to see visible progress. I think in terms of the funding we spoke about, the emergency funding, I did address that. And that talks to the funding we are seeking from the DoD for our sovereign and strategic capabilities. Because in the past, we've been funding it off our very weak balance sheet. So in the year, for this year, we've asked the DoD through the DPE for funding of around 683 million. And then we've also made the request, as pointed out by our group CFO, around the balance of the recap. But I want to pause there, hand over to there was also the other question around the SARA, the regional South African small regional aircraft. What we did do is that on the back of the Roy Falk and the Oryx upgrades, we had the engineering skills in our company, and we were then looking at using those skills to develop this concept. However, due to liquidity issues recently, we've actually not taken it forward. But we have done a market study, and that they indicated that there was a market. But as we put in any additional funding, you know, we need to ensure that there's proper diligence around capital allocation. Can I hand over to you, Ms. LaGrange, our CFO?
Sure, Philip, and through you, Chair. I think some of the questions that were asked were around the audit findings. One of the things that we did do at our last briefing to parliamentary members is that we had given a report back around, I believe there were 13 key issues around why we were getting disclaimers. And as Talib mentioned, those issues range from technical issues around how one reports on revenue to financial control issues and internal control issues and supply chains, as well as some of the cash flow findings in terms of presentation and disclosure. We believe that as the finance function, we've gone a long way in addressing the technical positions. Of course, there's a matter between how the Auditor General interprets technical findings and how Danelle interprets those, and we would need to work together to make sure we address those. I think that there's been some level of improvement in terms of technically accounting for the financial results. We still got a way to go, though, in terms of closing off all those findings and moving them now from the disclaimer opinion to a qualified opinion and then to an unqualified opinion. And so we've put in significant work around that. But the other big issue remains the story about cash in the bank. And it often becomes difficult for auditors to make positions around whether or not they believe that now will have enough money to continue. And I think Talib has made the comments he has around the application for funding, for emergency funding in terms of helping us with our liquidity situation. I also want to just mention that being drip-fed funds also doesn't help us, because it then gets more and more difficult to stave off many creditors where you've got to go into arrangements with them around how do you pay them. So while we bring our quantum amount down, I think in August the amount was over 1.1 billion, and we've now reported in this presentation we sit at around 735 million that we owe to creditors. The unfortunate thing is that we're taking longer to pay because we have to juggle the little bit of money that we do have as we try to make sure that we allocate funds towards also converting to sales and revenue. The other question, I think it was Honorable Rosina Kumani had, was around how did we address it in terms of the audit findings and where did it go? I think I've reported on that. And also in terms of the fact that Honorable Kumani mentioned that our presentation lacks timeframes. Our chair did mention that. However, I want to stress as the GCFO that timing for us becomes critical, because we need to prove that we're able to be in a position that we're able to pay our creditors when they are due, and this includes our staff. And then the other comments I just wanted to make was around the capital structure, again supporting what our chairperson says around our capital structure is way too short term. We do need our investor community to believe in us and to give us longer term in terms of the capital. We are looking and have been looking at how do we strengthen our balance sheet and get us into a position. And some of the revenue opportunities that Talib has mentioned is around ensuring that when we go in with our partners, they're also able to help and support us in terms of the funding that is required in terms of helping to fund our product, our projects. So to Honorable Kochalia's question, where he says, you know, what are the funding requirements to deliver on contracts? One of the things one needs to understand with Danelle's financial position is that in the past, Danelle used guarantees to fund its projects. And those guarantees would often get disclosed under a line item called
Sorry, can't hear you.
So sad at the wrong time. We should try and get it back. We'll try to get her back, Chair.
Okay. So long, can somebody come and finish?
any other...
Sorry, Chair, we've managed to get her get her back.
Okay.
Sorry about that, Chair. My computer died. So I think I was talking about how Danelle funded its projects. Recently funds its projects. So we traditionally fund our projects through getting guarantees. And like our chair said to you, what happened in the past is when we got those guarantees for specific projects, we would then use it as working capital. So we try to normally do that. We ring fence the guarantees that we do receive. We keep it separate for those projects so that we're able to execute. And then in future contracting, when we find a partner to go in with us, we try to do an arrangement where they help us with the funding of those guarantees. So the arrangements that we then have for future projects is around helping us with financing arrangements to make sure we're able to deliver on contracts. Salib, I think I've answered that question. Of course, also again, for Honorable Pachali, one of the things you said was around where do we get our funding. If we don't get our funding from, and I think I do need to make this point, if we don't get our funding from having an arrangement with our partners, we must generate that funding from own reserves, so from generating enough revenue in the business. I am concerned that in the immediate short term, we are not going to be able to trade out. So if one talks about time frames, and you know, I'm mindful of the comments, you know, made by both Honorable Khomani as well as Honorable Mpile Mutebi Moweta. So I'm saying that we do need in the short term an injection of funds to help us to move this business and to be able to get us to the point where we are able to trade more effectively and bring cash into the business. And so I want to pause there and hand back to my CEO.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carmen. Carmen, I just also thought you needed to explain that part of what the Auditor General has smartly focused on is taking us back to old contracts to try and put our numbers correctly, because historically we were not able to explain them properly.
Okay, sure, Chair. So I think we've alluded to the fact that in the last 2 years of audits, we got disclaimed on the fact that Danelle was using the wrong standard of accounting. One thing our chair also said is Danelle is a business that has multi-year contracts. So when we did the exercise of correcting the revenue amounts, one has to go all the way back to contracts that can go up to 9 or 11 years. And so this year, what we did is we tested over 90% of our contracts to try and get to the right calculations. So every single contract was looked at, and we had to do a restatement in terms of comparing the revenue that was recognized using the old standards called IAS 11 and IAS 18, and then looking at what it should have been in terms of IFRS 15. We do have some technical interpretation issues with our auditors, but we believe that we have corrected those. Significant contracts include the Wolf Aster, as our chair has mentioned, our chair of the board has mentioned, where there was lots of discussion with our external auditors. And in the new IFRS 15, there's two ways you will recognize the revenue. They will also ask you to do a contingent liability part of that in terms of the credit part of the revenue. And we have done that in terms of addressing how we do that. Of course, it must be tested as part of the audit, and we will see where we land with the auditors.
Thank you.
Thank you, members.
Thank you, Chair. I think that's for the missing questions, Chair, we can respond.
Yeah, and I would just ask that through the chair, for some of the schedules, are you growing in terms of your business with other SOEs? I think maybe we should just get into to start developing a report that we can share with members of parliament, because you have been indeed very focused on that, and you've added a lot of value to us on that. And in some ways, this denial is a cleaning up denial. We're trying very much to satisfy, from a quality point of view, the rigor that the Auditor General requires from an SOE, no matter how much it has taken for us to go back and to review all those contracts and account for them correctly. I think it is the right thing to do. Secondly, yes, we have had to get out of some onerous contracts, try and relieve denial from that, start paying some of the creditors. All those are the right thing to do. We have also tried, even with our limited resources, to service our debt. As historical as it is, and as short-term as it is, because the market has become too short-term on SOEs and maybe worse on denial, even with that, we have attempted to do that correctly. And sadly, it means that the little bit that remains, you then spread it among your employees. And I've heard very, very strongly, which is also the view of the board, that we must always watch out to make sure that the middle that we have to look after is never sacrificed in the process. And management is looking into that. Fundamentally, Chair, this is a team that is trying to clean up that base to make it possible for us to effectively, and I'm glad that with the DPE and our management, they are finalizing a program to start accelerating some of the SEPs that will make the situation much better than it is today. And if you add to that the discussions between the Department of Defense, AMSCO, DINEL around who faced them, the combination of those two discussions, if we just time them all properly, will make a hell of a difference, I think, for DINEL going forward. And it is my hope that we can all work together towards those timeframes. I thank you very much, Chair. And I hope we'll deal with
everything. Thank you. But I don't know whether I didn't capture you correctly. There was a question that was asked by Honorable... I think it was Komani, whether there is no about the cooperation between the board and the officials.
Oh, about our officials. The cooperation is there. I mean, everybody is working to use a bed with their butt out, from denial management to staffing divisions to DPE. I think the unit that is on denial is probably talking to us every day, and then to AMSCO and the DOD. What we need now is to find a way to push all of our work into one program with a timeline, so we don't miss out on the critical timelines that are there to keep a denial going. And that's just where we are, and that is the essence of my message, is that we're working all too hard and on the right things, but it is time we all pull together to similar timelines, so that we can, you know, we can make the more material injections, whether it's of liquidity or it's of programs, to come in at the right time. If we can perfect that, I think we will go a long way into turning the story around.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, I think we have received the response, and with the limited time that is left, I don't know whether there is a burning follow-up question from the members. Can I give a second or a minute in each and every of us members? Honorable Kumede, do you want to have a follow-up?
Chair, thank you.
Yes.
I'm not going for any follow-up, and I have a feeling that some of the questions I asked, they've strategically left them out for them to come back and answer them. You know, I know that, for instance, the issue of downsizing, where we have said if we can get more information on it, and the understanding that if we look at this as a plan, how much time do they need to get it implemented? I know that that's very dependent. It's dependent on funding, if they get money, as well as if defense agrees and all those things. It's a very dependent kind of a question, but it would have been okay, an attempt to it. And the attraction of skills, getting them back, it wasn't that much clear as how they are going to do it. But for me, the forward looking is much more better, because if we had really, this is the kind of a report or a presentation that requires or need a quick follow-up, so that we don't lose the momentum. We lose the momentum up until it's implemented, then it's good. But the tendency from my past experience is perhaps the SOEs will come here, present, we'll see them after 3 months, which then will be difficult then to do any appropriate follow-ups. But Chair, let's leave it like that. It's strategic on their side. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Honourable members, can you be just shorter than a minute? Honourable Kachalia?
Thank you, Chair. I will follow up with written questions by the Secretary, and will appreciate a response from the company. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Mawadu? Honorable Mawadu? Okay, Honorable Mawadu is there. Honorable Piri? Honorable Piri? Okay, Honorable Piri is not there. Honorable Mkwanazi?
I'm fine, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable Komani?
Chair, thank you very much once more. Chair, one would just want to make the statement to both the presenters and everybody that the intention of engagement is necessarily not to point out fingers, but to look for remedies and to ask to how we would assist. I think I agree with Honorable Gumede to say there are questions and of opinions that are strategically being left out. But one would then ask, why are those being left out? Because the intention is not to crucify anybody, but is to to see how we can as well assist each other. In terms of the time frames that I asked on Chairperson, it is very critical. Much as they would say it is very critical for them to can tell, but it's of essence that we know of the time frames as to how they report as to how we can hold each other accountable, as to as well how we can exercise our oversight, Chair. And again, Chairperson, I don't know, but I think we should be virtued as members of Parliament, as assistants in this holding. We shouldn't be seen as the board of Dinel and us. We should be all be seen as one, trying to move to one goal. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Komani. Honorable Buthelezi was in there. Honorable Kwangwa was in there. Honorable Malinga, are you with us now?
Chair, did you forget about me?
I didn't forget any person.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Greetings
to yourself, Chair. I did send my apology that I was in another meeting. I have just joined, so it will be maybe a waste of your time if I can have a follow-up, whereas I did not hear the gist of the discussions. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Who was claiming that I've forgotten her?
Shabalala. I'm not claiming, Chair.
No.
It's me.
Oh, okay.
No. I mentioned you, if it's Maotwe. You were number 3 on my list. I mentioned you. You were busy doing something somewhere else. You are running a risk of being omitted. Come, Honorable Maotwe.
Okay, thank you, Chair.
Long live the Chair.
I did not hear you call my name. Maybe you pronounced it in Xhosa. My last question, Chair, is just on the Evergreen project. Do we have Evergreen contracts at Dinel? And what is the value of those Evergreen contracts? And what is the implication in terms of the operations? And what does it then relate to in terms of having lost the critical skills, which might have been critical in executing those contracts or projects? Now, what is Dinel then doing about them? Thank you, Chair. That's all from me.
Okay, Honorable Marre. Honorable Marre. Honorable Marre, are you still with us? Okay, no Honorable Marre. The last person now is Honorable Shabalala.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. From my side, I want to say I'm comfortable with the presentation. I was really just to make a follow-up and ensure that matters that have been raised in the meeting were able to follow them up. And lastly, long live to yourself. You're looking very good.
Honorable Piri. Honorable Piri. Covered.
Chair, I'm covered. Thanks to the chairperson of the board. She humbly responded us very well. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Let's go back to you, chairperson of the board. Can you summarize the questions that have been raised? Yeah.
I think what would be critical is for me to summarize what I've heard from the members of parliament as a follow-up from us. And then maybe after that, I know that our deputy minister is here. When he speaks, he will also just give maybe what I might have left behind. There were a number of questions coming from Honorable Bumede, where he wants to understand how downsizing is being thought through in the strategy, how is it going to implement it, timeframes again coming back, even the issues, whether it's of funding or anything else, he would like to know what the challenges are around that and the opportunities around that. And number 2, on attraction of skills, similarly, how are you hoping to do it given your current conditions? But tell me without reservation, as somebody said earlier, we're working together, not to point fingers at us. Just give it to me with the time frames, everything, and what you are expecting. And there were just some questions also that were I think generally about looking forward, how will Dinel look like almost? If you have an idea and time frames, it's one of the questions that we didn't answer earlier. Share with us to the extent that you can. And then Rekha Chalia said that he will follow up with written questions. We will receive those through the process. And then Mekomani again, just emphasizing that on the presentation that we have made, and even for the future, that we must just make sure that we put the time frames into our presentation, so that at least from an oversight point of view, we can hold each, we can be held accountable as a team. And then a very important question that came at the end, I think it was from Mayor Mautwe, if I'm not wrong, or Mayor Piri. Do we have evergreen projects? Just go back, look at it. Tell me what's going to happen to them. Tell me what you're doing about them. Tell me what the implications are on the budget and what is the implication for you under the current circumstances, and give me that report back. And then I would say through your chair that we will then go back and, because I know that the meeting is also recorded, look at other issues that we might have left in between before, and that we will challenge ourselves to come back through your guidance and through the DPA's guidance to answer those properly. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Before we go to the Deputy Minister, I would like to check if the DG would like to say something.
The DG is here.
Okay, the DG is not here, Chair. He has had to run to the select committee meeting that was taking place from 12. Thank you, Chair. If I may proceed, okay. I think, Chair, we take note of all the comments, even the questions that the honourable members have made, as well as the responses made, and those in which there is an undertaking to do a detailed follow-up on them, so that there could be feedback on them. We will really look at that. Chair, I need just to say that Dinel is very, very strategic and important, not just for the country. It's indeed an important asset for the region as a whole, the whole continent, for that matter. The capabilities that reside there are quite strategic and cannot just be let off like that. We're working very hard. Where I share the concerns of the board is that sometimes some of the rigidities within the government system do not bode well for companies like those, for which you need agility, you need speed and certainty in terms of decision making. But these are some of the lessons we are also learning from, and one hopes that the presidential SOE council that has since been established will go a long way in helping to streamline and smoothen the operating environment of some of the state-owned companies. They are companies, big companies. We can't operate like they are just another government department. Thank you very much, Chair. Thanks as well to the Chair of the Board and the rest of the Dinel team for a very, very well-captured, well-presented story in respect of what is the true position where Dinel is at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Honorable members, thank you very much for your valuable inputs, and I hope the issues you raised will also be part of the homework that Dinel Board has to deal with. Of course, it's not always
possible to get concrete answers, the manner in which you will be getting. I think some of these issues, as we move forward, will be cleared and be dealt with. And thank you to the board for their contribution in this meeting. I think the input we have received, it put us somewhere in terms of understanding the development in Dinel. And thank you very much from the support we get always from the department, particularly our stakeholder, the ministry. Thank you, Deputy Minister, for all the words and direction provided to this meeting. And we have to thank everybody that has attended our session, and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much.
Thank you.